Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Is that the number?
Yep.
Oh, good. Well, greet them.
Good morning, Linda.
And good morning to you all. My name is Dennis, and I am here with Suzette and Rick, and we are just about to have our study called The Bible on Trial. This is brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry, who it is that we are. And we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy, busy day to join us as we search and discover the truth. I want to call your attention to our chat room. The chat room has our official website and our original site linked there. The official website is spiritoftruthministry.net. You can go there for a lot of good reading, and there's a new post up there for your elucidation, I guess you might call it. We also
just mentioned that it is now complete.
Yes, it is now complete. Oh, what's the name again? The name of it again?
Oh, Full Knowledge.
Full Knowledge.
Sorry.
That was interesting. It's called Full Knowledge. It is now complete. Actually, it was complete that afternoon. We encourage you to take a look at that. I want to pass me that, would you, the thingy? I want to call your attention to this also. We have a seminar coming up here at the end of September. The idea is that we are, since Rick is full-time now, we are going to go ahead and put on a weekend seminar talking about what it is that we have been talking about here on the radio for years, condensing it into approximately 7 hours on Friday, September 29, 6 to 9, Saturday, Sabbath, September 30, 4 to 6, and Sunday, October 1, also 4 to 6. This will be held at the Bob's Big Boy Restaurant. Pardon?
Free of charge.
Oh, yes, I will. 540 Sandalwood Drive, Cala Mesa, California. You can get a hold of us for any other information that you'd like at spiritoftruthministry.net. And actually, that's not what I meant to put there. I meant to put spiritoftruthministry@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And I will be looking at that on a daily basis, and we'll be able to answer any of your questions. It is free of charge. The only thing that Bob's would like is that if you, you know, maybe bought a cup of coffee and a piece of pie or something. And we will be approaching this from a perception standpoint. So we want you to be there if you can. It is in the Southern California area, anywhere. We are freeway close to anywhere in Southern California. And again, if you would like directions, just email me. It's right off the I-10. And so it you can just plug it into your maps, and it'll, you know, Google Maps or Waze or whatever, and it'll bring you right there. Let us have prayer, and we will get started with our study. Father in heaven, amazing things are happening in the world, in our solar system, and in the universe. And they are amazing only if we have eyes to see them. We can see the turmoil in the world, the earthquakes, the floods, the fires that are all around us in all countries. Something is happening. And we need to be prepared for that something. That is the purpose of this show and our program, The Revelation of Jesus. Guide us today, Father, to the place where you need us so that we can give the information that you gave Jesus, that he gave his disciples, that they are giving to us through their word, to those who are truly searching. We thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm just going to take about 3 minutes. I was watching. I turn on the television in the morning to keep me company. My wife is asleep for at least an hour or more after I get up, because I have to get up to feed animals and to, you know, get the house ready to go. So I turn on sometimes will turn on the news. It's gotten so bad I haven't done that for the last few days. I've just turned on the golf channel. I used to be an avid golfer, and I still love the game. And the instant that I turned it on, there appeared on the screen a teacher, golf teacher, by the name of Joey DeMatt. He was teaching one of the hosts. He was speaking to one of the hosts of Golf Channel. They were in a studio, and Joey was having this host march in place with his hands out in front of him and his eyes closed inside a box constructed of just dowels on the ground. He just laid you know, four dowels in the shape of a box on the ground. Actually, I think it was a square.
Yeah.
And this host, you know, he had this host just march, not fast, not slow, just a regular march inside this box with the purpose of staying inside the box with his eyes closed. And the timing was supposed to be 90 seconds, but he said, I'm only going to do this for 60 seconds. You should be able to see the point I'm trying to make. The host closed his eyes, started marching, and Jimmy DeMatt started timing it with his watch. And you're doing, you know, Joey kept encouraging him. Oh, you're doing really well. You're right inside that box. You're doing great. Keep going. Then he bent down and picked up the dowel that was in front of the host as the host was moving toward it. And at the end of 60 seconds, the host had moved 8 feet forward and 4 feet to the right. All the while, Joey is encouraging him by saying, you're doing great. You're right inside the box. Then he said, we're coming up on 60 seconds. Do not open your eyes. Just stop. Put your hands down by your side. And Joey covered his eyes with his hand. And he said, so-and-so, how far did you move? Well, I didn't move at all. Well, everybody moves a little bit. You're still in the box, but, you know, how far do you think you moved? Well, I might have moved a couple of inches forward and maybe 6 inches to the left. And Joey said, open your eyes. A shock and dismay on this host's face was priceless. Then Joey said, and I will quote because I wrote it right down, you have to train your brain to understand reality, not your perception of reality. When you think you're balanced for a golf swing, you think you're standing correctly, you think you are swinging on plane, you think you have all of these things going for you, yet you don't, but you don't realize that you don't. The point of that exercise was to show and to prove to this Golf Channel analyst that what he thought was happening wasn't happening, did think was happening, wasn't, and it's all about perception. That my friends, is a perfect example of what it is that we do on the spiritual side here on at Spirit of Truth Ministry on the Bible on Trial and on the Revelation of Jesus. All we are trying to do, we are not trying to make you mad. We're not trying to make you, you know, embarrassed, or we're not saying that you're a fool.
Or deceive you.
Or deceive you. We're not trying to deceive you. All we are trying to do is point out that what you believe to be true isn't true. And maybe it was last week, I think Rick said, if you are a Christian, there is there's a 100% chance that you have been deceived. If you are any religion in this world, any religion, there is a 100% chance that you have been deceived. So, if you are interested in truth and yet hang on to your deception, you are willingly ignorant, and that is being deceived. Apropos of this discussion, and you don't have to go through it, Rick, but someone close to you has also been deceived in a very mighty way, and it's costing her money. The deception is costing her money, and maybe her health, and maybe her life, because what she believes to be true about the person who's caring for her is absolutely 100% not true. There isn't anything true about what this person says.
Ignoring the testimony of witnesses telling her the truth, she chooses to do what she wants to do.
And they're eyewitnesses.
Right.
And the thing is that she does this with her spiritual life also.
And you see, this is the thing. We have a physical side of us. And by the way, golf is a very spiritual game. Don't get me started on that. I think God invented it to teach us humility and to teach us patience and to teach us a whole bunch of things. But I think you can find spiritual lessons in anything, frankly, either for the good or for the bad. But Joey DeMatt was talking to this person and saying to him all along, you're doing fine, you're doing well, you're in the box. What was he doing?
Joey DeMatt was lying to him.
And Joey DeMatt was playing on his faith. You see, when your eyes are closed, you must have faith in order to believe anything about what you are doing or what you are feeling or what you are hearing.
But there wasn't a drop-off.
You see? And this is the prime tenet of Spirit of Truth Ministry. Faith allows you to believe a lie as if it is truth without accountability. And what causes our accountability? What promotes our accountability? We have to have our eyes open.
Yep.
There. That took more than 3 minutes, but I thought that was worth it.
Yep.
You know, there's a saying that Ayn Rand put in the book Atlas Shrugged, which I haven't read, and I am not advocating or promoting it.
And the movie is also excellent, by the way.
I'm leaving the, you know, that's up to you what you want to do. Ayn Rand had some issues. But this statement bears consideration, and that is this. You can ignore reality, but you cannot ignore the effects of ignoring reality.
You can't ignore reality only because you can't ignore the result. You see, people who, I think suicide is always a, is always problematic. But so is the way that some people choose to commit suicide. They choose to jump off of a very tall building or off of a bridge. What happens if you jump and decide you won't, you changed your mind? You see, people jump before they know what the result will be. And that is what you are talking about, Rick.
Yeah, when they've convinced themselves that this is what they want to believe, and come hell or high water, and believe me, it's going to not be water, it's going to be fire.
This time it's going to be fire.
No one is going to cause them to change their mind in any way. I thought of the opening statement for the seminar, which I will share with you. That is this. What do you prefer? Do you want me to lie to you? Because I can. It's very easy to lie. In fact, with what I know, my lies could be extremely believable because I would tell you what you want to hear. Or do you want me to tell you the truth? Last week, I talked about lies. Tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies, because I don't want to hear the truth. Because the truth hurts. Does it hurt? You know, there's a door to the kingdom which we have been assured is open at this time. This door is to the kingdom. The kingdom is represented as the great hall where the marriage feast is held. The kingdom is the marriage feast, and all those who are in the kingdom will be at the marriage feast. But that door will not stay open forever. That door is going to close. We find that in Matthew chapter 25 in regard to the, oh, lo and behold, bridesmaids. The bridesmaids. We're talking about a wedding, aren't we?
Yep.
So, of course, there would have to be bridesmaids there.
Yep.
And let's see, Matthew chapter 25, verse, well, let's start with 5. The bridegroom was late. Now, some of your translations may say delaying.
Right.
In other words, the bridegroom didn't come on the appointed date, the expected date, the one that the father had said, this is when you can go get your bride. Mm-hmm. And when was that? That was at the end of the 2300 evenings and mornings. So that date was sometime during the 1843-1844 time period. In fact, the bridesmaids were all out waiting, primarily in the Northeast United States and Midwest, and east, but all around the world too. They were waiting in anticipation on a very specific date, October 22nd, 1844. And day ended and no bridegroom. And the bridegroom has still not. They are wondering if the bridegroom is ever going to return. But what is important to know? Yes, the bridegroom is going to return because the bridegroom is the Son of God, and the Son of God does not lie. Even if you were to say, please lie to me because I don't want to know the truth, he will not do it. He will not lie. And neither will I. The bridegroom knows his purpose for coming back to this earth. He put his servants, disciples, apostles in charge. He left them in charge to get the kingdom ready, and the kingdom was to get the bride ready. That's this whole thing. So there are three groups that will enter into eternal life are the bondservants. And the complete number of bondservants is 144,000. You find that in Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. The 144,000 will be men and women who have taken the truth seriously. And I mean seriously. I don't mean, well, yeah, they want to know the truth, but they really can't get it. You know, it's like, yeah, I want to know the truth, but how do I find the truth? And many just stay in that state. I'll just do the best I can, and I'm fine. In order to have the kingdom fully prepared, and in order to have the nations fully prepared with their wedding garments on, the one very necessary process and condition at the conclusion of that process that needs to be completed is the sanctification, consecration process. And what that is cleansing. And what is cleansed but the lies? The lies that the evil one, the great liar, has foisted on the whole world to maintain his darkness. These lies must go because light and darkness do not live together. They do not coexist. So the only way to complete the sanctification process is to be cleansed fully by the truth until there is no lie in your mouth. And if you check verse 5, that's what it says about the 144,000. No lie could be found in their mouth. They are blameless. So, the bride will not be fully prepared, ready to meet her bridegroom until she has been cleansed of all the lies that she believes. Now, we're not talking about one person. We're talking about the nations. The nations are the bride, and the nations are not the kingdom. The kingdom is the bride's maids who are charged with the responsibility of preparing the bride so that she is ready to meet her husband.
But Rick, we have been told as Christians, and we all started out as Christians. Mm-hmm. We have been told that all you have to do is claim the blood of Jesus Christ and your sins are covered. This is the last verse of James. This is what the Apostle Paul speaks of. The fact is, Paul doesn't talk about cleansing. He talks about hiding sin from God. We are to be cleansed at all, according to Christian doctrine. All we have to do is say the sinner's prayer, claim the blood of Jesus Christ as propitiation for our sins. There's that big word that's often terribly misused. And then our sins are covered so that God, when he looks at us, is actually seeing Jesus. You know, we're hiding behind Jesus. And he does not see our sins.
Or as Paul puts it, we are in Christ. When we are in Christ, then our covering is Christ.
Our covering is Christ, exactly. And so what that perspective, and again, this is the kind of thing that we will be defining very clearly in this seminar. The idea is that the people who want to be cleansed must cleanse themselves. And I'm not saying that the sacrifice that Jesus made for the kingdom of heaven.
They must actively participate in the cleansing process.
Exactly. And I keep going back to this text in Daniel 12:10, because coupled with what we see in Matthew 25:1-13, and many other places, this shows clearly the responsibility of those who want to be purified. And here's what it says. This is from the WEB World English Bible. Many will purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined. But the wicked will do wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand. But those who are wise will understand. So we need to define wise and wicked. We need to define foolish and wise in the parable of the parable prophecy of the kingdom of heaven, the bridesmaids. Because if we don't do that, we do not have the correct understanding. And again, this goes back to perception. This goes back to that analogy that I made earlier today.
Right.
If we don't have that perception correct, we are saved. We will think we have been purified. We will believe with all our hearts that we are in Christ, when in reality, we're not anywhere near it, and we will be lost. So this is more than just a esoteric, philosophical, didactic exercise in logic. It's real life, it's real, and it needs to be dealt with openly and honestly.
What Christians believe about the blood of the Son of God is that it will make their sin acceptable to God.
Except.
Yeah, it doesn't, they're not cleansed from sin. But the blood of the Son of God makes their sins acceptable to God. Here's the thing. We learn this. The reason that we have God's word preserved in a book called the Bible is because we need his word in order to accomplish what he needs accomplished, to defeat sin and to take authority back over all the people of earth and everything on it. God is not the ruler of darkness. You don't call God the dark lord and destroyed. And the only way to do that is with the truth, period. Now, the bridegroom is not going to come back for his bride until she is ready. And like I said, she is the nations. She must be cleansed of all the lies that she has grown up with and believed and worshiped in. And the nations are not, we're not talking about all Christians. This is not something that only happens to Christians. This is something that happens to people of all faiths and practices, even those who have no faith or practice. It involves all of them.
Even those who say they have no faith or practice. Everybody has faith. Everybody.
But you see, that is going to be happening during the trumpet judgments. The trumpet judgments are redemptive. And what I mean by that is, as opposed to the bowls of wrath are judgments that are poured out upon those who have received the mark of the beast. Everyone who has received the mark of the beast will experience the punitive judgment of the bowls of wrath, which you can find in Revelation chapter 16. The trumpets you find in Revelation chapter 8 and 9. The trumpet judgment is redemptive. You can be compared to the 10 plagues on Egypt. Now, there are those who don't believe that the 10 plagues ever poured out on Egypt, that Egypt never experienced any time where there were 10 plagues that caused any type of exodus afterward of people. There's no proof of it, so it didn't happen. Well, if you don't want to see proof of something, you won't. If someone shows you some proof, you'll go, oh, that's not proof. That doesn't apply.
And again, you're experiencing with this person, exactly with this person who means a lot to you, but is just totally, has decided to be blind.
But let me tell you this. If you are alive to experience the trumpet judgments, and I would say that the vast majority of people living today will experience them. Know that these judgments are from God and not natural phenomena. These judgments are from God. And they are designed to wake the world up to the fact that they are living in darkness, they have been deceived, they are living according to lies, and if they want to experience life, true life, and living in a world that is unimaginably wonderful, then they need to quit their practice of what they're doing and accept the truth that those who are going to be proclaiming during this time, and guess what? That is how the bride is prepared. The bride is prepared by listening to the bridesmaids, the five wise bridesmaids who now are in the world proclaiming the truth along with the 144,000. They are proclaiming the truth to the world, and those who are in the world of the world at that time during the trumpet judgments have a decision to make. Do I stay with the world, or do I go with the God who lives in the heavens? And what I'm about to tell you is very encouraging. In fact, I'll read it to you. It's in Revelation chapter 7.
I'm sorry, I just went there. I don't know what verse you're going to do. But I...
And it is verse, let's start with verse 9. After that, I saw a huge multitude, a huge number, impossible to count. Can you give me a number that is impossible to count?
Actually, no, there is no number that is not that is impossible to count. They have Googleplex, they have all sorts of high, all you do is you other, you know, 1 times 10 to the 27th, you just add another.
So here's the thing, and this is what I'm saying is immeasurably I just had the word encouraging. What John is being told here by the one of the I think it's one of the 24 elders, but it's one there in the heavens. What John is being told is the multitude that he is seeing does not have a set number to it. Mm. Do you know what that means? That means that every single person has not had a predetermined outcome. God has not predestined or predetermined how many people of the nations he is going to take. He is going to save. He's saying, no, that's a number no one can count. That is up to you. All who say, I want nothing to do with the God of this world, small g. I want nothing to do with the darkness. I want nothing to do with lies. I want to live earth made new with a God who loves me, and I call him Father. But everyone who wants that cannot continue on as they already are. They must be cleansed of the lies that they are practicing and have been deceived by. Back in Matthew chapter 25. The bridegroom is delaying. The bridegroom is late because the bride is not ready. And if the bridegroom comes back, and let me tell you, I said this before, I cannot say it enough. I want you to understand what I am saying is the truth. When the bridegroom returns, when the Son of God returns, it is not to plant more seed. It is not to testify again the truth. It is not to reinforce the truth. It is to come in judgment. It is to come in judgment. And you need to be ready to meet him when he comes, or you will find yourself experiencing something that you are not going to like. Now, when the bridegroom is going to return before he gets his bride. Okay? So he's coming back, but like I said, not coming back to testify to the truth again. He's not coming back to reinforce the validity and the authority of his testimony. He is coming back in judgment. And the reason that I can tell you that this is going to be the coming back in the judgment is just go up to the verses just before chapter 25. In fact, start with 45. So this is Matthew 24, starting with verse 45. What sort of servant then is faithful and wise enough? What does enough mean?
Enough is a minimum standard.
Enough is a minimum standard. Faithful and wise enough for the master to place him over his household, to give them their food at the proper time.
It sounds like this person is approaching perfection, but may not be perfect yet.
But is enough. Now, let me kind of give you a picture of that. When Elohim talked to Moses for the first time from burning bush, was Moses faithful and wise?
Not in the least.
No, not in the least. But what he had, was it enough?
It was enough.
For what needed to be done, yes.
Right.
Was John the Baptist faithful and wise? Well, he was faithful.
But he wasn't all that wise.
But was he faithful and wise enough to do what needed to be done? Yes. He did it. Believe me, he did it in the face of opposition like you cannot believe. The only reason that they didn't kill John the Baptist when he was out there immediately is the people thought he was a prophet. And they didn't want to kill... They didn't want to kill. They didn't want to kill John the Baptist because the people would have turned on them. Now, who was it that wanted to kill John the Baptist? And don't think it was Herod. Herod didn't even want to kill John the Baptist. He was forced into it. But who wanted to kill John the Baptist?
His wife?
No, John the Baptist didn't have a wife.
No.
The religious theological establishment. The religious leaders, the priests, the scribes, the Sanhedrin, those who the people looked to for having the full knowledge of the law and prophets. These are the people that if you wanted to know the truth, you could ask them. They would tell you the truth. These are the people that the nation looked to as having the full knowledge of God. These are the people that wanted to kill John the Baptist. So do you think that John the Baptist was in their membership? Do you think John the Baptist had a theological degree? Was he the one that could wow the people with his knowledge of theology and the law?
If that had been the case, he would not have been out in the desert eating locust and honey and wearing camel hair and sackcloth. He would have been in with them earning a big paycheck.
Okay, now, the Son of God told his three disciples on the way down from the Mount Transfiguration that Elijah-type prophet was coming in the future. There would be an Elijah-type prophet who would restore all things. And yet Elijah-type prophet had already come, and the theological establishment, the religious leaders, had not recognized him. They had not accepted him. In fact, John the Baptist was calling them a brood of vipers, and he was warning them that the judgment would soon be upon them, and it was like the axe being at the root of the tree. And what kind of people should be? And he's telling this to the religious leaders. And he said, repent and be baptized and live in accordance with your repentance. But they wanted to kill him, to shut him up. So think about it. The Elijah type at the end of time that the Son of God said would come and would accomplish the restoration. Do you think he will come out of the religious establishment? Do you think that he will have a diploma and degree and or certificate or something from higher Institute of Higher Learning in theology? Do you think that he'll be the pastor of some church or the leader of some denomination?
Don?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Please, I don't, Rick, please don't lose your thought, but I got to insert something here. You said earlier that the 144,000 and the bridesmaids have to get the message to the bride, right?
Yes.
Please address something, because we have dear friends and loved ones who will tell you right to your face, we're doing that. We're doing that. We've got televisions. We got satellites. We've got tracts. We've got books. We are doing that. Could you address that issue?
Yes. All they're doing is telling them lies. I mean, lies will not prepare anyone to meet God. What lies will do is prepare them to meet judgment when God comes in judgment. And
yes,
they will receive the judgment.
Go ahead.
See, I feel this is a very major point because we run into this all the time. What are you guys talking about? That's exactly what we're doing. Look at our schools. Look at our medical facilities. Look at our satellites. Look at our huge meetings. We are doing exactly that. But the point here that needs to be made here, and you made it, this is not truth. To prepare the bride means to get truth to the bride, does it not?
And yes, and Don, like I said, that denomination that you're talking about,
yes,
is the denomination that God calls the bridesmaids. And we know the bridesmaids are not ready to prepare the bride. So how can they be preparing the bride before they themselves are even ready? And like I'm saying, they are the second group. They're the second group. The first group is the 144,000. So let me go on and read this. John the Baptist did not come out of the religious establishment. He was not upholding Judaism. He was upholding the law and the prophets, which had nothing to do with Judaism. So, now, back to Matthew chapter 24, reading on there, verses 45 to 51. This is in verse 48. But as for that dishonest servant, so what he's saying is that if he's not faithful and wise enough, and he starts feeding his fellow bondservants, but says, now my master is staying away a long time. He's not coming back. That's been a long time. So I'm going to stop. I've got things I need to do. I need to be real about life. That servant says to himself, my master is taking his time.
As a matter of fact, my master is taking his own sweet time.
And that's about beating his fellow servants and eating and drinking with drunkards. His master will come on a day he does not expect, and at an hour he does not know. The master will cut him off and send him to the same fate as the hypocrites. Hypocrites are the religious leaders. And if you have a question about that, you don't fully understand that the hypocrites are the religious leaders. Look in Matthew chapter 23, just the one before, where he levels the religious leaders with
Seven woes.
Yeah. Here is judgment. The Elijah-type prophet that he's talking about here will be judged when his master returns. This is not at the end of the world. This is not when the bride is all ready, because the bride is not going to be ready if this person, this faithful and wise enough person, decides that he's been waiting too long, that his master is not going to come for a long time. That's judgment. That is judgment. So he comes there and he either finds him feeding his fellow servants or he finds him beating his fellow servants. And he is rewarded for feeding. And you know what the reward is? That's verse 46. I tell you solemnly, he will place him over everything he owns. I've asked this question many times. How much does God own? The creator of everything? So God owns everything.
He doesn't control everything.
Authority,
now,
yes.
There's a difference between owning and having authority.
So what is this person in fact? What the determination in his judgment, first of all, is he either is put with the hypocrites, and we know what happened to them. Mm-hmm. But what about this, put him over everything he owns? Mm. You remember that story in Genesis about Joseph? What happened to Joseph?
He was put in charge of everything.
Sold into slavery, went to Egypt.
Right.
Went to prison for being honest and had it with integrity, mm-hmm. and he's in prison, and then ultimately he finally gets out because somebody remembers that he can interpret dreams, and he goes up there and interprets the dream of Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. Pharaoh puts Joseph over everything that Egypt controls, everything. He said, only on the throne will I be greater than you. Mm-hmm. So Joseph is in fact Pharaoh.
And Joseph, in fact, was third in Egypt, interestingly enough. There were essentially two pharaohs. There was one in South Egypt and one in Northern Egypt.
Well, upper and lower.
Upper and lower Egypt. And Joseph covered that whole area. I mean, it was amazing. And the faithful and wise servant will be that person. There will be Elohim, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the faithful and wise servant next.
And I do believe that the Antipas person that is named in
Pergamum,
the seven messages. Mm-hmm. You know what Antipas means?
Son of the Father.
Mm-hmm. That the Antipas person is this person. The one who is faithful and wise enough. Hmm. He is put to death, by the way. That's what it says in the message to Pergamon. He's put to death. He's put to death in the city where Satan's throne is, where Satan dwells.
And incidentally, that's not Rome.
Yes.
I mean, Satan dwells in Rome, just like he dwells everywhere, but his seat of power is not there.
So, the faithful and wise servant is feeding his fellow servants. It is the truth. Unlike what John the Baptist was doing, John the Baptist was being humble, yes. What John the Baptist was doing was really not preparing the way. In fact, there were some stumbling blocks because of what he said that he, you know, that were caused. But the thing is that Israel had already chosen their finality in the judgment. And the kingdom was taken away from them. There wasn't anything John the Baptist could do that would save that mess. It was already at its end. The Son of God returns now. He is going to judge first these servants, the one who is faithful and wise enough, or the one who decides it's taking too long and he's made a mistake. Then the bridesmaids are awakened. That's the cry at midnight. The bridegroom is here. Well, how can they say the bridegroom is here? Well, he just came to them. He just basically authorized them. And they go and say, look, bridesmaids, we have to get the bride ready. You need to wake up. And you need to wake up right now. And we need to go right now. There's no more waiting. You've slept as long as you're going to sleep. We are going to the marriage feast. And they go to the marriage feast, and the door is shut. It says that right there. Mm-hmm. The door is shut. And what happens to those foolish ones that didn't have any oil? Mm-hmm. Well, we read that starting in verse 11 of Matthew 25. The other bridesmaids arrived later. Lord, you know, that's what, isn't that what they, what Jesus said? There will be those who come to me and, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do, didn't we have satellites preaching your word all over the country, all over the world? Didn't we have tracts? Didn't we have a prophetess? Didn't we have all this stuff?
They were spreading their
gospel. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you solemnly, I do not know you. So, stay awake, because you do not know either the day or the hour. What sort of servant is faithful and wise enough to be awake when his master comes as a thief in the night, while the rest of those in the kingdom are asleep and the thief comes? Mm-hmm. His master comes as a thief. He's not coming to steal anything. Mm-hmm. His coming is unexpected at night when most everybody is asleep. But this person is not asleep, and there are a few with him. And they have awakened, and they are eating the bread that he's feeding them. And what is he feeding them? The law, the prophets, and the testimony of Jesus. The law, the prophets, and the testimony of Jesus. And that's it. John, the disciple, what he writes in 2nd, 3rd John and in Revelation. Matthew, what he writes. And probably Mark. That is the testimony of Jesus. And Jesus gave them this information. In Revelation, Jesus gave John that revelation, which is the instructions on the preparation of the bride and all that is involved. And we were going to continue this tomorrow. Just remember, we are there and we are about ready to be authorized to get the 144,000 consecrated, sanctified, and ready to do a very, very important service for the Master.
Oh, that was a terrific study. Thank you so much. Thank you, Don, for your contribution. That was wonderful. We encourage all of our listeners to go use our websites. Our official website is at spiritoftruthministry.net. We also encourage you to use our Gmail address if you need to contact with us. That is spiritoftruthministry@gmail.com. Please be available tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time on Blog Talk Radio for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. So long for now. We'll see you tomorrow and have a great, great day.